This is Leaning Toward Wisdom, the podcast, Modern Tales of an Ancient Pursuit. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell. I'm your host here. The website is leaningtowardwisdom.com. This is episode 15, season 2020. Yeah. There were times that I didn't know if I was going to make an episode a month, or at least that average, but hey, we exceeded expectations. Okay, not really. You have to be totally tired of who you are. Well, you do if you want to grow, if you want to improve, and if you want greater wisdom. Let's talk about it. Happy holidays to you and yours. Today is Friday, December the 18th, 2020. Coming to you from the Yellow Studio here in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. Hope all is well with you. He lost 75 pounds in 3.5 months. Yeah. I mean, pretty stinking amazing, right? He admits that it wasn't likely the ideal way to lose that kind of weight. Not the ideal time frame either. But he was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And so here's what he did. He did 9 fairly simple things. Number one, he gave up soda and sugar. Number two, he ate oatmeal every morning. Number three, he ate grilled chicken every day. And he pre-made enough for the week. His only veggie was broccoli. Number four, when he got tired of chicken, he ate eggs instead. Number five, he ate Special K bars to satisfy his cravings for sweet. You know, high glycemic, he says, but it worked for him. Number six, he did eat fruit, but his overall calories, he kept his calories under 1,500 calories a day. Number seven, he was hungry at night, so he'd go to bed early. Smart so far, right? Number eight, he avoided dairy, and instead he went to almond milk. And number nine, he did not go to the gym. Well, he says he hates the gym. But he did walk, and eventually he would run. Now, I saw this video about a year ago, and I can't tell you why, but, well, I probably could tell you why, because the YouTube algorithm. Is there a more important word that has kind of gone into all of our vocabulary that we really don't fully understand? Algorithm. It popped up in my YouTube feed. And I'm like, well, yeah, I've seen that. I forgot about it. So I watched it again. And I'll tell you why I clicked on it the second time. I didn't click on it the second time to watch it again because of having lost 75 pounds in 3.5 months. And that is the title of the video, Weight Loss, How I Lost 75 Pounds in 3.5 Months. I did it just to hear the guy talk. You know, he's just a good old boy. He's just a good old boy. He's trying to get better. The minute he said it, I instantly remembered having heard this before when I watched the video before, because it is such a true statement. There are lots of folks who are smarter than me who have said it. And we all know that it's true. We know that it's true in our lives. We know that it's true in the lives of other people. Dr. Henry Cloud said it as well as anybody. We change our behavior when the pain of staying the same becomes greater than the pain of change. Consequences give us the pain that motivates us to change. Well, our slim down country boy in the video, he says it in a way that I can completely understand. And frankly, he says it more succinctly than Dr. Cloud. You have to be totally tired of who you are.
For you to complete this, you have to be totally tired of who you are. I knew I was going to do this when one day at work, two people on the same day at different times walked up to me and said, "You look like you might be pregnant. When's it due?" Now, no, I didn't sue them for body shaming because they were right. I knew I was overweight. I could see I was overweight. I couldn't get mad that they pointed out because it was the truth. The truth's the truth. The truth hurts. And that's what it took to motivate me. On that day, I knew that I was going to change my life. And I did. And that's what it takes to do this. You have to be tired of the person you are and be willing to sacrifice to make your what you want come true. I ain't going to say it's a dream. It may be a dream for some people. I knew I could lose the weight, but I had to be just totally tired of who I was. I'd tried to lose weight before. I guess I wasn't totally tired of who I was. I would, lose 5 or 10 pounds. It wasn't quick enough. I'd go back to eating everything I wanted and gain 15 back. Lose 10, gain 15. So, but this was the breaking point for me when I heard that. I knew I really had to do something because I'd never been that person before.
There you go. Smart, right? Well, no, to the point of our podcast, wise. Why would I be totally tired of who I am? Well, speaking only for myself, let me count the ways. Self-awareness is the ability to see yourself clearly and objectively through reflection and introspection. Now, that's not my definition. You can look it up. Self-awareness is the ability to see yourself clearly and objectively through reflection and introspection. That's how an article at positivepsychology.com begins. I'll put a link in the show notes to this article. I'm also going to embed the video of our good old country boy who lost all that weight. The title of this article in positivepsychology.com is "What is self-awareness and why is it important? Plus 5 ways to increase it." It's a worthwhile article. There's a graphic that I'm going to also share. I'm going to embed this in the show notes. 5 ways to cultivate self-awareness. First of all, create space and time. Connect with yourself daily. Avoid digital distraction. Carve out solitude. Secondly, practice mindfulness. Pay attention to your inner state as it arises. Try mindful walking, eating, listening. Number 3, journal your awareness. Process your thoughts through writing. Record your inner states. Number 5, practice listening. Actually, this is number 4. Practice listening. Pay attention to the speaker. Observe emotions and body language. Don't judge or evaluate. And number 5, gain a different perspective. Ask for feedback. Social media is overrun with people disparaging the opinions or the viewpoints of others when it comes to your life. Every day, I just notice the memes just seem to jump out at me that disparage putting any stock at all in what other people think. And it goes well beyond the seemingly wise admonition to ignore the haters. It presupposes that everybody has the ability and the desire to see themselves accurately, and that each one of us, we are able to do that without any help at all. It also foolishly holds that none of us benefits from listening to others. It's a horrible disservice, in my opinion, because the truth is we all struggle to accurately see ourselves or to face the realities of ourselves or our situation. We likely lean toward thinking too highly of ourselves, or Yeah, the opposite, too lowly. It's too easy for us to overestimate. It's too easy for us to underestimate ourselves. And that makes accuracy really difficult. Others can help provide just enough perspective where we're able to more accurately see ourselves. And if we choose to ignore their help, it hinders us. We need the insights, the experiences, and the observations that other people can provide. All other people? No. But we need it from some people. Not just anybody can do that for us. Those with whom that we feel fully safe, they're the best to serve us. These are the people who we know, we are convinced they only want our best. They don't have any other agenda. They don't want to live our lives for us. They don't want us to make choices that perhaps they themselves would make. They certainly don't want to make the choices for us. They simply want us to do the right thing by helping us make the wisest choice that will help us be our very best. They love us. They love us enough to challenge us. They love us enough to nudge us, to push us, to question us, to encourage us, to support us, to do whatever else they can to help move us forward. And if we choose to ignore or banish these people, we do it at our own peril. Self-awareness is not a solo pursuit. It demands that we make wise choices in who surrounds us. And that's a real critical component to succeed in growing tired of who we are when who we are has become destructive, when who we are has become detrimental to our being our best. Recently, we learned that a business hero to many, Tony Heisch, founder of Zappos, he was living this life that, well, most of us knew nothing about. Virtually every major news publication, including the Wall Street Journal, has written pieces that reveal he had a serious drug addiction. And according to multiple accounts, he banished those who attempted to help him correct his poor behavior, choosing instead to surround himself with people who would just support anything he wanted to do. Pretty common behavior for drug addicts. Sadly, his story ended, just as many do end, with his death. During this pandemic, there have been a number of sad stories. There have been sad stories where people have died at their own hands. Mental health is, thankfully, getting more and more and more attention as we're just seeing too many people fall into depression and despair, and oftentimes do it quite invisibly. I'm certainly not able or willing to pass judgment on people in these cases, and I only use that to make the point that self-awareness and improvement, it does demand a degree of being tired of the status quo, but it also requires a clear enough mind, a mind free of drug abuse and addiction and also free of mental illness, a mind that has the capacity to face in the most healthy way possible the pain of our present state. Enough pain, as Dr. Cloud wrote, to compel us to consider making different, aka better, choices. Have you heard of the Dunning-Kruger effect? The pandemic and this presidential election have both proven how valid this is. As Psychology Today says, the Dunning-Kruger effect is a cognitive bias in which people wrongly overestimate their knowledge or ability in a specific area. This tends to occur because a lack of self-awareness prevents them from accurately assessing their own skills. Last year, Jeff Hayden, he's one of my favorite Inc. magazine contributors, he wrote an article that was entitled, How to Tell Within 5 Minutes If Someone Isn't As Smart As They Think. I'll put a link to this too. You're going to want to read this article. It's brief. Here's what Jeff writes in that article, and I'm quoting, "That's because wisdom isn't found in certainty. Wisdom is knowing that while you might know a lot, there's also a lot you don't know. Wisdom is trying to find out what is right rather than trying to be right. Wisdom is realizing when you're wrong and backing down graciously. You know, there's some, I know some people who are just very certain that this pandemic is this elaborate hoax. Others are very certain that if they contract COVID-19, they're going to die. Some are certain that Donald Trump won the election. Others are certain that he's the worst thing that ever happened to the human race since Adolf Hitler. And now some are certain that the COVID-19 vaccine is going to be a lifesaver. And there are others who are equally positive, some more so, that their family is never, ever going to take this vaccine. I mean, it seems that we have leaned further and further away from wisdom and more into being dead sure that we're right. And even though certainty, it can go from one extreme to the other, just as I've illustrated, rarely are we pausing long enough to wonder if both extremes are certain, does that mean both are right? Might both be wrong? You ever wonder, how can such a wide gap exist in certainty? How can people hold one thing over here to the far right as certain, and people over here to the extreme far left hold something that's completely opposite with equal certainty? Well, it's the Dunning-Kruger effect. That's how. It's not about being confident. It's not about being sure about things. It's about being open enough to consider things before you reach certainty. It's about embracing questions, or at least not resenting questions, as you navigate your decisions and your choices and your actions. Over the past year, especially during the pandemic, I have become increasingly fixated on our ability to resent questions. The mere asking of questions it's like heresy. The truth will withstand tough scrutiny. Wisdom, it will withstand hard questions. Defiance, that's worth some conversation. Defiance is another enemy of growth and improvement. Our stubborn refusal to listen, our stubborn refusal to question, to discuss, to consider, to think, doesn't serve us. Defiance is our stubbornness fueled by anger. Well, it could be fueled by bitterness. The fact is, it could be fueled by any number of other negative emotions. Defiance is not the fuel for self-improvement. It is not the fuel for growth. It is not the fuel for wisdom. It's destructive. Okay, so how does pain serve us? The pain of facing the reality that we're now unhappy with ourselves. Lately, I've been looking more deeply into heart issues. No, not the cardiac kind of stuff, but the spiritual kind of stuff. The Bible view of our heart, which is our mind, it's that place where we reason things. It's that place where we believe things, where we ignore things, where we disbelieve things. It's that place from which flows who we are, which is based on what we choose to do. The Biebs, Justin Bieber, he posted something on Instagram the other day, caught my attention. What you do doesn't define who you are, said the old wise Biebs. What you do doesn't define who you are. Well, you know, I share what, there's a commenter over at Instagram that commented on the Biebs post. I don't know who he is. Jake Callanan. He said, yes, it does, actually. I agree with Jake. Yes, it does, actually. I mean, if what you do doesn't define who you are, then what does? That'd be my question. There's a sermon in the Bible delivered by the Lord. Even non-Bible readers know about the Sermon on the Mount. Let me read just some of it to you. Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. On that day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, And there were gathered unto him multitudes, so that he entered into a boat and sat. And all the multitudes stood on the beach. And he spoke to them many things in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went forth to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. And others fell on the rocky places, where they had not much earth. And straightway they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was risen, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And others fell upon the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And others fell upon the good ground and yielded fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He that hath ears, let him hear. Then in verses 18 through 23, hear ye then the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the evil one and snatcheth away that which hath been sown in his heart. This is he that was sown by the wayside. And he that was sown upon the rocky places, this is he that heareth the word and straightway with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, straightway he stumbleth. And he that was sown among the thorns, this is he that heareth the word, and the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And he that was sown upon the good ground, this is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, and verily beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now, this story told by the Lord matters because it determines whether or not we're going to become tired of who we are when what we are isn't very good. Not all hearts, not all minds are the same. Not all of them are good. Not all of them are wise enough to recognize the need for a change. Else, they would. Some people lack self-awareness. They lack wisdom. They lack sobriety. Some people lack, for whatever reason, a cognitive ability. Perhaps it's because of an impairment that they have brought upon themselves through drugs or alcohol. Sometimes it may be an impairment brought about by a variety of things, including mental illness. But it could also be due to just self-will, defiance. Or it could be due to any number of things. There is a reason that it's so difficult to convince people who abuse substances or who suffer a mental illness that they need help. You can spend all day and all night reading and going down all kinds of rabbit holes of people who suffer mental illness or substance abuse or both, and the difficulty that their loved ones confess in trying their best for years and years and years and years to convince them to get the help they need. And mostly they won't. So many among us are roaming about aimlessly, lost in drug use and or mental illness, that they simply are unable to see themselves in this nosedive that is apparent to the sober people who are watching their lives. You know, like the drunk who thinks that he's perfectly capable of getting behind the wheel of a car, these people suffer delusions. Their detachment from truth and reality has skewed their ability to get tired of who they are. The result? They lack the desire to make a change that just might save their life. They lack the desire to escape the pain in a productive way, choosing rather to escape it in a destructive way. I've yet to see anybody who harbored bitterness and defiance ever reach the positive place required to be totally tired of who they are in order to grow, change, and improve. I haven't seen it. Growth, self-improvement, greater wisdom, these demand a humility that only sober people can fully embrace. Defiant, bitter, and angry people tend to spend more time thinking that they've been victimized by others. The line of people who have suffered wrong, it forms over here to the left. And I got news for you. We are all in that line. Humility affords us the opportunity to escape that line so that we can busy ourselves making changes that will make us better. So let's talk about these pronouns. You have to be totally tired of who you are. This isn't about being totally tired of who somebody else is. Well, I mean, you can be, and I guess to a large degree we all are, right? I mean, there's a lot of people that I'm really tired of who they are. I'm really tired of the poor, foolish, self-destructive behavior that I see in some people, but that ain't doing them a whole lot of good, right? So it's best to just sit down, hold that mirror in front of your face, and look intently to see yourself as you really are. And that's the hard part. The hard part is to see yourself as you really are. This is where we have to leverage the power of others. We need people in our life who care so deeply about us, they are willing to tell us what we need to hear, willing to teach us what we need to learn, willing to serve us no matter what, all because they have our best interest at heart, not for any other reason. And that's who the safe people are. People who can help us figure out. They can help us figure out if we are or if we should be totally tired of who we are. And then there's those unsafe people, like the ones who made fun of this guy who lost all the weight, right? The coworkers making jokes about how he looked pregnant, but it got him to see something. And like he said, no, I didn't sue him for body shaming because he knew they were right. He already knew he needed to drop some weight. Their comments just didn't give him this sudden flash of insight, but their comments did serve to inspire him. Now, only he could give us the answer. I don't know. Maybe it was an I'll show you kind of an inspiration. I don't know. But whatever it was, he described it as provoking him to just instantly be tired of who he was. So he made up his mind to change. He set about to do something about his weight. Nobody else could do this for him. Now, he could have made some different choices. We know this. Anger, resentment, bitterness, defiance, sadness, depression, blame. I mean, keep going. He could have hugged it out with any or all of those kinds of emotions when these coworkers poked fun at him, but he didn't do that. Instead, he chose to face what he already knew was true. He says in the video, he knew they were right. He didn't blame them. He opted to blame himself for letting himself get so out of shape. Accepting responsibility for his current state helped him accept responsibility to change it. When others could have hidden behind resentment or anger or bitterness or feeling like they've been victimized by their coworkers, he chose to step forward. He chose to take on the challenge to control his own destiny by doing something about it. And his refusal to just accept his current state as some new norm prompted him to chase improvement. And you know what? Right now, you have those same choices. I have those same choices. And it doesn't matter what your current problems might be. I don't know what they are. I got enough trouble trying to figure out what my own problems are. It could be weight. It could be career. It could be fitness. It could be money. It could be relationships. Plug in whatever you want to fill in that blank that ails you, and you can fix it. Accept your current state. Continue on down this negative, destructive path, or accept that your current state can be changed. If you're willing to take matters into your own hands. I think he used the word in that sound clip I played for you. I think he used the word sacrifice. If you're willing to give up some things, you're willing to sacrifice some things for some other things that are better. And he's right. He's absolutely right. Until we are sick and tired of being sick and tired, we're going to continue to remain sick and tired. Let's reread the Dr. Cloud quote. We change our behavior when the pain of staying the same becomes greater than the pain of changing. Consequences give us the pain that motivates us to change. Consequences give us the pain that motivates us to change. Pain. Let's wrap up this by thinking a little bit about pain, because that is the impetus for this change. That is the impetus for this growth and improvement. If there is no pain, we're not likely going to change anything. Now, of course, millions of people, they're blocking out the pain with drugs and alcohol, all kinds of illicit and immoral behavior in hopes that they can, well, keep running from their pain. But like the shadow that follows them everywhere they go, not going to outrun it, not going to outrun the pain, not that way. Sadly, they wind up making the pain worse and worse and worse. Wasted lives. Horrific lives that serve no positive purpose in their own life or in the lives of others. The Bible calls it the root of bitterness. And it's how a lot of people opt to feel about their own need to grow or improve or to change. They hate those who try to help them. And they hate even more those who aren't trying to help but are trying to hurt, like the coworkers who were making fun of the guy's weight. They're totally tired of other people. They're just not totally tired of their own shortcomings. They're not totally tired of their own failures. They're not totally tired of their own weaknesses. They're not tired of their own foolishness. They focus more on what others do to them instead of focusing on what they can do for themselves. The pronouns. It's really easy when you start listening to the pronouns. Their pronouns are them and they. And the irony is that by refusing to focus on their own need for growth and improvement and change, they're behaving with colossal selfishness. Are you in touch with your pain? The pain of something that you know you can change if you just made up your mind? Are you blaming that pain on other people who really aren't responsible for your situation, but you'd like to think they are? Are you deflecting that pain away from your own responsibility in order to stop feeling so badly about yourself? Are you searching for solace in feeling like a victim? Maybe you're tired of being the victim and you're totally tired of who you are as a victim. Well, good for you. Lean hard into that pain so that it can fuel your desire to finally, at long last, do something about it. Other people, they may have their own desires for your best, but, you know, until you want it for yourself, it isn't going to matter. First, you want to do it for yourself because it's your life. And you alone are going to have to answer for the life you're living. What other people have done to you or what other people have done for you, not going to excuse you from facing the reality of your own choices, your own behaviors, your own words, your own actions. And oh, by the way, there is this truth. Yes, we've all been victimized by various circumstances and people. And I dare say we've all done some victimizing of our own. So permit me to leave you as we end this year with just a few tips that might be helpful. Step one, be thankful. Be exhaustive in your attempts to be thankful. Just see how many things you can list or how many things you can name. And when you think you've reached the end, just keep going. I mean, write it all down. Figure out what else you have to be thankful for. And here's a hint. Make sure people, names, make sure they're the first thought. Step number two, now focus your gratitude on the present opportunities. Keep on going with your Thanksgiving, but now focus it on the chances, the happy accidents, the people, the circumstances that have been afforded you and that do afford you the opportunities to at long last now do something about these things that you need to fix, that you need to repair. Step number three, figure out the answer to the question, what's next? Don't fret about getting too far ahead of yourself. Just figure out the first step. What will you do to get yourself on the right path toward improvement, growth, and change? You could start by asking those famous journalist questions. Who, what, when, where, why, and how? Apply those questions to the first step. All you got to do is figure out what's next, the very next step. Step number four, get busy with that very first step. Start. Don't delay. Don't talk yourself into waiting. You will not make matters worse by taking that first step, right? So any movement in the right direction is going to be helpful. And the sooner you take that step, the sooner you get on the path toward growth. The key to getting unstuck is to move. So make sure you move in the right direction. Step five, be very aware of how it's working and then adjust. This is why it's unimportant that you have every I dotted and all the T's crossed. Don't worry about it being just right. Don't worry about it being perfect. It just has to be good enough to give you some clarity of what you are going to do first. And after you take that first step, make sure that you pay close attention to how it's working and make adjustments along the way. Step six, don't quit. Don't quit. Keep going with the intent of improving just a little bit every day. Embrace the process of daily improvement. Quit thinking about what you're giving up, and instead think about what you're gaining. One day at a time, one moment at a time, 1 hour at a time. Remember that adage about how you eat an elephant, one bite at a time. Small, small steps compounded over time will make big, big differences. Step seven, remember the end result, the goal. That is the reward for the work. So stay focused on enjoying the process, the work. And don't forget, the pain that you are ridding yourself of, it's important to remember what we're running from as we focus on what we are running toward. It's that this is better than that kind of thinking that can help us stay on course. This thing that we're reaching for is way better than that, this thing that we are attempting to leave behind. We want to put that behind us so we can reach for this. I hope that helps you in your battles. The website is leaningtowardwisdom.com. I probably should apologize, especially to those of you. You know, I've got some listeners that have been really faithful listeners for a long, long time. You know who you are, and I'm really, really thankful for you. And you deserve better. I can tell you that I am growing tired of who I am as a podcaster here at Leaning Toward Wisdom, but I'm going to make a true confession. I'm not totally tired, but I freely confess that part of my problem is just, and it's not pandemic related, it's just sitting here wanting to make sure that I can provide some value. And there have been times during this year that my struggles have frankly been just too severe for me to be too helpful to too many people. That's just true confession. But I know this about myself, and I know this about you. We have to take care of ourselves so that we don't live wasted lives, so that we can be helpful and beneficial to the people around us. For me as a podcaster, that includes you, the audience. Because without you, I've said it before, I'm just a guy sitting in the studio talking to myself. I hope you and your family have a safe and happy holiday season. And let's pray and let's hope and keep our fingers crossed that the year 2021 will be much, much better for all of us. Greetings and welcome inside the Yellow Studio.